reading from the Sri Narada Bhakti Sutra, Sutra 3. Amrita Sarupa Cha. This pure love for God is eternal. Purport. When a person attains to the perfectional stage of love of Godhead, he becomes liberated even in his present body and realizes his constitutional position of immortality. In Bhagavad Gita 4:9, the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakva deham punam janma naiti mameti sojana. Here the Lord says that any person who simply understands his transcendental activities and his appearance and disappearance in this material world becomes liberated, and that after quitting his present body, he at once reaches his abode. Therefore, it is to be understood that one who has attained the stage of love of Godhead has perfect knowledge, and even if he may fall short of perfect knowledge, he has the preliminary perfection of life that a living entity can attain. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Tatsurumrutam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati sapadantikam panchakalpa tarubhyascha vipashandu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Emmaus, that's Pennsylvania. I'm staying with Rajya and Kirti, and we're on our way with pilgrimage. I'm traveling with Haley and Ariel from New Zealand, from Christchurch, and I'm speaking. We're doing kirtan together, and we started a kirtan band. So because they're from Christchurch, our kirtan band's name is the Christchurch Kirtan Band. We're trying to do a little outreach preaching to the fundamentalist Christians. A little joke there. But I have to do a little bit joking because we just took dinner and Rajya is famous. Now he'll be famous if he wasn't before for his pizza. So this is a class after a full meal, so there may be a few jokes, sure. So, Emmaus, Pennsylvania. You know what, how a New Yorker describes Pennsylvania? People from New Zealand won't get it, but Rajya will get it. Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama in between. Okay. Okay. Rajya got it. But it was a wonderful, wonderful facade. I remember one time in when I was staying with my friend Professor Bryant, he had a transcript of some Westerners coming to this learned Shastri in Vrindavan, probably the most learned Shastri. He has an equivalent of 9 PhDs. Yeah, he's like, you know, incredible scholar. Yeah, Jiva Goswami, Sanskrit, everything. So everybody, you know, there were some Western devotees. Where do they come from? They come from ISKCON. In general, when they come from ISKCON, they're a little disgruntled. sometimes there's a tendency to criticize. So, you know, they probably just came from the ISKCON place, and here's a traditional sadhu. And, so they see that in ISKCON, here are these Vaishnavas, and, you know, they eat pizza. So they asked them a question. Maybe they tried to elicit something that sounded critical, and the question they asked was, can we offer Krishna pizza? And the sadhu gave such a nice answer. He said, generally what you like best, you can offer with the most devotion. What Krishna wants is our love. Of course, part of that love is offering what the other person wants. But there's also an element of you have to make the judgment what is best, and what is generally what is best is what you like the most. Go to an Italian's house, he can offer pizza with the most devotion. Gujarati, you know, doklas, South Indian, Italy's and doshas, Bengali, rice and shripta, Punjabi, Bhaturi rotis, and chana, and hot glove jovens. So, this is my initial excuse for the kind of class you're going to hear today. It's very nice. It's beautiful. We're in his temple room. The name of the deities is Radha Kunja Bihari, beautiful deities. And we had a beautiful Julan festival. It's been a wonderful week of Katha. We had a beautiful Julan festival at the Sri Jagannath Mandir of Gopakishore and Kishori Radha. Beautiful, beautiful home temple and beautiful Lakshmi Nisringa. He spoke on Balaram Tattva and did Kirtan. Then I spoke on Radha Tattva and Radha Leela. Beautiful. And then we had a beautiful swing. And all the children, so many children, all the devotees swinging the deities, Kirtan. And who just happens to come just by our great fortune? Jai Buddha Swami. You know, so it was such a pleasant. And then on Tuesday, I know some of you do like to hear also the preaching that goes on. It's, or, you know, the preaching or the lecturing. And at Yoga Maya, I did Sri Radha's story, songs, and philosophy. Uncharacteristically for me, I went into ecstasy and overshot the time by 45 minutes. But our Christchurch Kirtan band really rocked that place. And they come from Christchurch. It's the name of the city. It's the Christchurch ISKCON Temple. So we really, wonderful, Jaya Radhe and those songs. And it was so nice. I would say there were at least 40 people there. It wasn't the core devotees at all. These were a lot of new people. And everyone was remarking that they were sitting with their eyes wide open, just looking and hearing and drinking the expression of the highest love. I explained Radha as the pleasure potency, which is love to the highest degree, which means beauty, because when you want to please, you offer the best. So Radha is the zenith of pleasure, love, and beauty. Very, you know, and then we told some Leela and some pastimes, and we did Tadit Suvarna Champaka Padipta Gora Vigrahe Pabha Mukha Papastiko Sharadenda Mandale Pachitta Chitta Sancharachakora Shavalochane Kadakarisya Sihamam. Vipakitakshavajanam. Gora Padipta Gora Vigahe. Her glistening, fair complexion. Suvarna. Tadit Suvarna is like lightning, gold, and a champak flower. And her the shine of her face is like a thousand autumnal moons. And her eyes moving. So it's very beautiful. So we have a very wonderful time. You know, it started at 8:30. It finished about a quarter to 11. It's middle of the week, but and now there were new people, and if you understand the tattva, the science of Radha, it makes sense that the existential reality is part shakti, part energy, which can't be separated like a flower and its scent. In one scent, the best part of the flower is the scent. The best part of Krishna is Radha. And she has all capacity to love and serve and manifest the most beautiful way. So I saw, if you can explain that principle of shakti, of energy, serving the source, asavaya saha, then Radha makes sense. It makes sense. And people will appreciate. And they appreciate it. I'm getting letters. I got 3-4 letters already from people who want to. And maybe we'll put that, we'll get that out, that tape. And wonderful, wonderful. So now, the Narada Bhakti Sutras. So it's nice. This is the first time I'm studying them, and I'm becoming quite excited at the same time. I'm writing a commentary, which I will put gradually online. I finished the first verse. It's in the editing stage. So the first verse was, now, therefore, I will try to explain the process of devotional service. So now indicates urgency and significance. Now. It's significant. It's bhakti. It's the topmost process. And it's urgent because human life is meant for self-realization, and this is the topmost process to become self-realized. It's an object of meditation that we have a relationship with. It's alive, it's powerful, it can reciprocate that relationship to give us the perfection of our endeavor in that relationship, which is to serve and love, but simultaneously to transcend the world duality that covers that sense of our soul, the pure sense of our soul, which is a devotee, which means it feels, it loves, and it makes us happy, not because we act selfishly, but because love is happiness. So we discuss that verse. And then the next verse, verse number 2, describes the rupa, the nature of bhakti. And what's the nature of bhakti? It's parama prema for God. It's the topmost love for God. So the first point is, bhakti is for God, and the topmost love is for God. Because God means reality. If you're not loving God, you're not loving reality. Because that's what reality is, it's God. What something is a relationship to God. So you take out the God factor, the universal factor, what you're loving will lack substance. It won't be completely real. And it will be exclusive. And real love is inclusive. Your love will not be extended to the highest degree. It won't be parama prema. I'm also thinking what this verse means, because sutras are just short, terse verses. They really have to be unpacked, and what do they mean? But I'm also thinking, I was saying, what does it mean that it's parama prema rupa? To me, parama prema rupa, the nature is a parama prema rupa for God. It means it's anyabhilashita shunyam. Bhakti must be pure, otherwise it's not bhakti. It must be parama prema. It must be the topmost love. Otherwise, it's not pure. Bhakti means pure. Bhakti means you're doing it for the object of your love. So bhakti means there, first of all, has to be an object of love. The object of love has to be real. That's God. And it has to be eternal. Otherwise, the love is frustrated. So it has to be intended for pleasure. That's what love is. It's an intention. It's a consciousness of intention. You carry in your heart to please God. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakarmat. Anyabhilashita shunyam, without any other extraneous desires. Jnana, to become peaceful, or karma, to be joy. The intention is to please. The intention is not for ourselves. Then it's not love. Although love is the best thing for ourselves. But if you do it for yourself, it's not love. Love is the best thing for yourself, but if you do it for yourself, it's not love. So it's prana prema rupa. Now we get to the third verse. Amrita sarupa cha. So it's rupa, sarupa, rupa. Same thing. It's nature, its own nature, its essence. It's amrita. It's eternal. It's not that this love for God is eternal. It's not that you worship God with bhakti and then in the future there's no God. Or there's no you. There's no you, there's no love. There's no God, there's no love. If it's all one, there's no love. Love is an exchange. The reason eko bahu sham, why the one becomes many, so there can be an experience of love and the absolute reality. Love has to come from outside, so within the God, within him is the outside. Within him there are parts that stand before him. Otherwise, there cannot be love. And this is not just bhakti school. Certainly, well, bhakti school, most schools, is the eternality and the individual eternality of the soul. Bhagavad Gita says, Natvevaham, Jatu Nasam, Natvemene, Natsadipa, Nasavana Bisha, Savata. There was a time where I did not exist, nor you, nor in the future will cease. So this relationship of love for God Is Sarupananda is Bhaktananda. Sarupananda, is there a certain ananda within oneself, within God? But there's Bhaktananda. There's a pleasure within God that's the essence of the bliss potency that has to be put outside of himself to come to him for him to feel it fully. And by God's inconceivable potency, he has separated parts and parcels within him called the jiva, the sparks of consciousness that are meant to be receptacles of love. And that is the eternal reality. Rasa Vaisaha. Kirti could have called in today. Maybe she has. They say she can hear, and she'll feel, oh, it's my place. So the eternal reality, there's some philosophies, is that Panchaposhana, that you worship different gods. So that in the future, so, you know, you invoke, you steady your mind, and then you transcend it. But then that is not bhakti. That's the love of a prostitute. She enjoys the man to get something else. Not love. It may have the same actions as love, but it's not love. It's a sex life. It's not love. That's you get something and you give it up. That's not bhakti. Real love is a relationship that endures. So, Amrita Swarup Cha, and that nature of that love for God is eternal. And this pure love of God is eternal. Even before you achieve eternality, that's the point that Prabhupada made. Because when you do something in a pure sense for the soul, it has a permanent effect on the awakening of the soul. Neha vikramanasho sti pratyavayo navidyate sopam apyasya trayate. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. So Prabhupada here writes, upon attaining love of Godhead, a person immediately becomes immortal and no longer has to change his body. That's the nature. That's the eternal reality. If you don't come to the real platform of understanding the soul, then what you're identifying with, you will lose. It will change. But even if a devotee has not yet reached the perfectional stage of love of Godhead, his devotional service is considered immortal. Any action in the stage of karma or jnana will be finished with the change of body. But devotional service, even if not executed perfectly, will continue in the next life. So karma and jnana is in relationship to the body. Bhakti is in relationship with the soul. So it's touching the eternal soul. Okay, we'll go to the next verse. We're moving quickly. Yad labha pumam siddho bhavati amrito bhavati chipto bhavati. Upon achieving that stage of transcendental devotional service in pure love of Godhead, a person becomes perfect, immortal, and peaceful. so becomes perfect. You become perfect. Because that is perfection. What is perfection? Perfection is realizing what you are. It's not adding something to it. It's not achieving anything external. So when you achieve bhakti, it's just like water. What is pure water? Pure water is water without anything added. So what's a pure soul? It's you when you get rid of everything external to the self. And that's liberation. I sometimes describe how a kshatriya does that, achieves liberation. He walks to the north until he takes off his uniform. First, breaks his sword, that's external to the self. And eventually, by the austerity of walking to the north, his body starts to wither. And then finally, if he's a really accomplished kshatriya, he gradually amalgamates all the elements into the Mahatattva. And the last thing is a false ego, the egotistical conception that channels consciousness into a particular body. By your body, consciousness is channeled to a certain conception. The ant's consciousness is limited to that body. The elephant's consciousness to that body. That's false ego. It limits the consciousness. So when you get rid of everything external, you are a devotee. Prabhupada said the perfectional state of the living entity is called a devotee. That's what you are, a particle of consciousness meant to love. So when you achieve that stage, you become perfect. You become a devotee. You're just love. You're just service. That's your whole consciousness. That's your whole being. And you become Amrita. You become immortal. Because that part of yourself doesn't end. I always remember the example when I went through a particular difficult time of my life and I just took shelter of the holy name. And then I became a little fearless because I realized that what I was doing, which was the glorification of God through the holy name, was the activity of my soul. And I had a realization, this will not end. This person, the real person that is loving God, that's chanting, will not end. I became a little fearless, but the person who is putting himself in the center and developing everything in relationship to the body and acting according to the ego, that will end, and that conception causes fear. So when you achieve bhakti, when you achieve that sense of loving God through your heart, it does not end. It is immortal. And you are satisfied. You're peaceful. Because what is suffering? Suffering is the dichotomy between who you are and what you're doing. When you act against nature, you suffer. When you act against nature, you suffer. When you act according to nature, you're peaceful. So when you achieve that stage of bhakti, parama, prema, rupa, become peaceful. All our suffering is because we're acting against nature. All suffering is because we're not acting like devotees. The root of everything that is temporary and full of duality. Vayam dutiya bineveshita shat isharupe tasya viparyot isharupe tasya. When you turn away from the soul, when you turn away from the mood of service and devotion, you have no real identity. You turn away from God, you forget yourself, and you assume this illusory identity as the body. And from that arises fear, duality. Turn towards God. Remember God. You're in your natural position. There's no duality. There's no fear. Purport. The part and parcel of living entities are entangled in the conditioned life of material existence. Because of their diverse activities, they are wandering all over the universe, transmigrating from one birth to another and undergoing various miseries. Because of these diverse activities of not serving God. Do you want to be a servant of God? What do you want to be? Well, let me be an elephant. Let me be a pigeon. Let me be this. Let me be that. Let me be this. Let me be that. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavanji. Brahmanda Brahmate. Go through the universe experiencing everything. You don't want to serve God. When a fortunate entity somehow comes in contact with a pure devotee and engages in devotional service, he enters the path of perfection. If someone engages in devotional service in all seriousness, the Lord instructs him in two ways, through the pure devotees and from within, so he can advance in devotional service. By cultivating devotional service, he becomes perfect. Practice devotional service, enter the path of perfection, and therefore, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam. Born who worships you with faith and devotion, I give him the knowledge from the heart and the external manifestation of the super soul. Is a spiritual master. Lord Krishna describes this form of complete perfection in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Upetya Punajanma Dukalaya Vishasvrita. The great souls who engage in my devotional service attain me, the Supreme Lord, and do not come back to this miserable material life. They obtain the highest perfection. When you engage in devotion, you attain the highest perfection. And you do not act in the world of duality. Both while in the material body and after giving it up, a devotee attains the highest perfection in service to the Lord. As long as a devotee is in his material body, his probational activities and devotional service prepare him to being transferred to the Lord's supreme abode. Only those who are 100% engaged in devotional service can achieve this perfection. So this is the Parama Prema Rupa, this bhakti. That's perfection. Perfection is a heart filled with devotion. And that's the eternal position, and that's the peaceful position. No one became peaceful trying to become something they're not. If it's not you, it's superficial and it's temporary. Being not a devotee is superficial and it's temporary. You're trying to enjoy something that's not yourself, and which will end. How can you be peaceful? In material conditional life, a person always feels the misery caused by the transmigration of the soul and body to body. Before taking birth, he undergoes the miseries of living in the womb of his mother. When he comes out, he lives for a certain period and then again has to die and enter a mother's womb. But one who attains the highest perfection goes back to Godhead after leaving his present body. Once there, he doesn't have to come back to this material world and transmigrate from one body to another. That transfer to the spiritual world is the highest perfection of life. In other words, the Bodhi achieves the constitutional position of immortality and thus becomes peaceful. Doesn't come Janma Mrita Janma Karma Chapeda Avyam Gilbert Naitima Bisochita. One who understands this, that I am a soul, I'm meant for God's service, that God is eternal, that devotional service is eternal. When he gives up this body, he doesn't have to come back again. Until a person achieves this perfection, he cannot be peaceful. He may artificially think he is one with the Supreme, but actually is not. Therefore, he has no peace. Similarly, someone may aspire for one of the eight yogic perfections in the mystic process, but these achievements are material. They are not perfection. Perfection means to regain one's original spiritual form and engage in the loving service of the Supreme Lord. Muktir hitva yata rupam sarupena vivastita. What is mukti? What's lit? Muktir hitva yata rupam. You give up yata rupam, the nature that's external. Sarupena vivastita. And you become situated in your own nature. Your own nature is devotional. Everything else is external. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and if he performs the duties of the part and parcel without proudly thinking he is one in all respects with the Supreme, he attains real perfection and becomes peaceful. There's a nice overview here. It's all following very naturally. That's what I want to do with this Narada Bhakti Sutras, to present the beautiful concepts of bhakti in a simple way. Are there any questions? Would a few people like to say hello? I would appreciate it.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Rajarade Devadasan.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for all that night. It was nice service there in that jula. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions?
I had one, actually.
Okay.
Just for the sake of clarification,
yeah.
When you were talking about the fact that devotional service is eternal and gyan karma is not, because those pertain to the body. And the activities of devotional service, those are eternal. I just wanted to confirm that when you say that the devotional activities are eternal, you're speaking about the effect of those activities for the soul in terms of its purification, not the fact that the activities are absolutely eternal. Because, you make a garland and it's done, you know?
Right. It's not right. It's, you cook the one meal and you're eternally cooking that meal. Right? Yeah. It's eternal in the sense that the activity is the activity of the soul. And that nature of the soul is eternal. Well, gyan deals with renunciation. Renunciation has to do with the material world. It's nothing to do with the soul. The nature of the soul is dedication. So that's not real eternal activity. That's why in Ramananda Samvada, it's rejected. when he says, Sarvadhamam prityaja mamekam sharanam bizaham tamsa. He rejected that. He said, no, that's renunciation, giving up everything. It's not the nature of the soul. The soul is not, that's just not its nature. It's dedicate. So karma and gyan are not eternal activities. They're activities to get you to some other state. But bhakti gets you to the state of bhakti. Bhakti sanjayate bhakti. Okay, Gail?
Yes, thank you.
Wow, I'm on a roll. 3 weeks in a row. Answer the question. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now for today. Thank you. Let's go.